Previously on the Sound of Football podcast.
Fact is that, of course, Billy Davis was complaining all the time that there wasn't any money to spend, so, you know, McLaren would have been probably aware of that before he joined.
Of course, Billy Davis was complaining about everything, wasn't he? So, I'm sure people don't put a lot of stock in what Billy Davis says.
There should be a Tumblr blog that what's Billy complaining about now.
Yeah. In fact, as soon as you said Billy Davis, I actually didn't hear the rest of the sentence. I just nodded off it.
Yes, hold on to your hat, folks, for another rip-roaring edition of the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Chris Oakley.
A very warm welcome to you all. Glad you could join us for episode 90 of the Sound of Football podcast. The next half an hour will be filled with entertaining football conversation from myself, Terry and Graham, and it will be topical if nothing else because we're going to be focusing in this edition on the European Championships, the matches that have been taking place over the last few days. We're going to be running the rule over as many of the groups as we can cram in, looking at the home nations, as we always do, but also perhaps trying to see if we can pick out a few teams who have done better than we expected, and maybe a few who have fallen a little short in our expectations, as well as to perhaps preview the remaining fixtures. Some teams have already finished, of course, and some teams have got about a game left to go. So let's begin at the beginning then, I suspect. Group A, let's go through in alphabetical order. Group A, gents, Germany running away with it. Well, have run away with it. 9 wins out of 9. 12 points clear of Belgium. So, I mean, I suppose there's little to kind of discuss there, really, isn't there? Because, I mean, Germany, we expect them to reach the finals of major competitions, which they have now done, and I think that was confirmed after the last round of fixtures. So we now turn our attention to who's kind of going to come in second behind them, which is either going to be Belgium or Turkey, by the looks of things. First of all, I'll go to you first, Terry. Germany, particularly impressive this time around. I mean, you know, they always play to a high standard, so I suppose they've got to go some to really excel like that.
Yeah, they have been brilliant this campaign, won it at an absolute canter. There isn't a great deal to be said about it, to be honest with you, because they've just been. I mean, it's pretty much the same team that people will remember from 1966.
Excellent.
Franz is really, you know, he's getting losing a bit of pace, but he's okay. You know, it's the drugs, I reckon, probably what did it. allegedly. And, I mean, Benedikt Hervidis in the defence is probably the guy who's sort of like maybe coming to that side now, which wasn't there. Mats Hummels as well. I think there are some question marks about Germany's defence, but these are questions to be answered in the European Championships themselves, certainly not questions that arise and are relevant for the qualifying campaign. They've been superb. But I think it's probably, if you were a betting individual, then you would be betting your £1 on Turkey to finish second there, because Germany play Belgium in the game tomorrow as we record this. And Germany are not the kind of team that are just going to say, oh, well, you know, we don't care, let's play the kids.
No, they didn't do that against Austria, did they, last time?
No, they didn't. They were kind of already there when they went to Turkey last week, like on Friday, and a lot of people in German media circles expressed some surprise that they didn't bring a development team with them to Turkey. And because it's just not how they roll. And apart from anything else, I mean,
it's not much more than a development team anyway, is it, really?
Well, exactly. It's a very young side anyway. It is the team that is going to go to the European Championships, and it's, you know, in fact, they need as much game time as they can possibly get. And also, it was Turkey, and you know, it's a tasty derby game, Germany Turkey. And you're an idiot, frankly, if you're Germany and you take a development team to Turkey, you deserve to get an absolute hammering.
Is that Germany have to be so prepared for this tournament? I mean, going to Poland and playing is going to be,
oh my lord,
it's going to be pretty epic. So
I mean, it's going to be the atmosphere in those games. I mean, if we assume that Germany will be largely stationed in Poland because of obviously the convenience of travel for themselves and their supporters, then they're going to bring a lot of guys with them. Obviously, they've got a lot of support with them, but also there'll be a very partisan home support, shall we say?
Oh yes, I should say
teams with two very, very, you know, great sporting rivalries. In fact, they played in a friendly, actually, very recently, and it was a 2-2 draw. But I mean, with regards to that group, I would suggest that Turkey are in the box seat there because I mean they've got Azerbaijan, assuming that they get past them, which they should do.
Because Turkey have struggled with, I think, of late, haven't they, in qualifying for tournaments? They certainly had a bit of success at the beginning of the last decade, but
They got to 2008 and they did okay under Fatih Terim, didn't they? They had a good tournament there. Yep. And they're well placed at least to get into the playoffs over Belgium, which is a bit of a shame because the Belgium side is turning into a pretty good one.
We know
guys like Kompany, but also there's Eden Hazard as well.
Eden Hazard, of course.
The geezer from Lille who you know all about.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. Well, I was going to say
he's a top player.
Yeah, I was going to say, Graham, I mean, it's a shame, really, because they seem to be sort of finishing strongly. They won well against Kazakhstan, if you can take anything from that. But undoubtedly, Belgium are a very talented group of players, some of which are in the playing in the Premier League.
They're playing for the top teams all over Europe, aren't they? So they're certainly a team with a lot of experience. Or gaining a lot of experience in a lot of the top leagues and also the top European competitions. You sort of get the feeling is that if they don't get some success soon, or they don't get, then it will just fail. They'll just fade away, like a lot of teams that are in rebuild. Well, perhaps a lot of teams in rebuild.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's a difficult one for a lot of teams because they've got a lot to prove. Because I mean, the next World Cup is in South America, and although the last World Cup in South America was in 1978, so this isn't much of a gauge. But traditionally, European teams have never won in South America. They've never won the World Cup in South America, and so. You know, there's a strong possibility that a European team won't win in South America in 2014.
Yeah,
so it could be 4 years before these guys get a chance to win another trophy. So again, going back to Germany, there's quite a lot of pressure on them to win the European Championships because they've got a very good side, and I think that many people would feel that, you know, although Spain are a very good side and possibly better, will they have the energy levels to continue and win a third successive major trophy?
But Germany, those 16 years have hurt, isn't it?
16, and it must hurt a lot. It must hurt. Well, it does. Obviously, having experienced considerably more than 16 years. It's not actually hurt, though, is it? It's
really.
More sort of like mild irritation.
Yeah, that's right. Really, 16 years of slight irritation.
Yeah.
Slight irritation, indeed. There you go.
Okay, let's go to the Irish group. Group B.
Okay, then. Group B. Yes, Ireland, as we mentioned, as you just mentioned there, Graham, currently 2 points behind Russia. It's pretty much all to play for going into the last round of fixtures. 2 points behind Russia, a point ahead of Armenia. Who knew? But what do you reckon on Ireland's chances of getting automatic qualification then, Graham?
Well, they are at home against Armenia, but so you would hope you really would hope that they could get through it. But Armenia have finished so strongly; they've won their last three games,
scored four in the last two.
And they're only a point behind the Republic now. So Ireland know they only need a point to get into that playoff spot. Mm-hmm. Of course, it is possible they could win. It's unlikely because Russia are at home to Andorra. So you'd say that Russia are shoo-ins for
can
the top
scrub.
Title.
Yeah, yes. You can scrub that.
I think the Irish will do enough to get through. I mean, they're not going to do a Scotland.
I don't think you can call that one at all.
Do you not?
I think knowing Ireland.
Well, I suppose Armenia did go to Slovakia and win 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's I haven't seen Armenia play, but it's very clear there's something about them. And I think that Ireland will be bricking it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a difficult evening.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's going to be uncomfortable. If there's a dodgy handball on it,
well,
we will never hear the end of it.
I think someone on Twitter the other day was sort of preempting the possibility that if Ireland finish second and get into the playoffs, then they could quite conceivably end up playing France again. But well, we'll come on to France soon. But anyway, yes, there's all that baggage.
Nah, I think UEFA will just rig the draw, won't they?
Yes, of course they will.
Because that's what governing bodies do, isn't it? Yes, they rig things. We all know this. They're all corrupt and they all rig things. Yes. All a bunch of crooks, apparently. Anyway,
apparently
all right.
So.
Off we go then.
But yeah, I mean, Ireland recently managed to sort of slow down Russia's progress with a draw. So I mean, they've not done too badly. They've only lost one of the nine games so far, Ireland. So, and they've got home support, as you say. So I'm backing Ireland. Which sounds like some kind of political campaign from the mid-70s. Group C, Italy absolutely walking away with it. 7 wins and 2 draws from their 9 games. And they're 7 points ahead of Estonia, another surprise team. Now, I'm really kind of quite keen to see Estonia do well. I think, yeah, it's always good when you sort of, I don't remember a few years back we had Slovenia suddenly sort of came out from the shadows and gave a good account of themselves. I'm kind of hoping, fingers crossed, that Estonia can kind of finish the job off and maybe even get into the finals via the playoffs. They're just a point ahead of Serbia. Have you seen much of Estonia recently, Terry?
No, not recently.
I didn't think you were going to say that.
Not recently, and I would say not at all, alas. there's no arguing with the results that they've got, that they put in, and Serbia do have a difficult journey to Slovenia. Slovenia will be difficult to beat, even though they are out of the thing. So,
and they have they lost at home to Estonia just last month. Nothing to play for. So,
Italy, on the other hand,
cruising, bitterly disappointing as well for Northern Ireland, who have finished quite low down in the group. They're currently one off the bottom. They've got a game to go. But, of course, we just heard in the last, probably a few hours, really, that Nigel Worthington has decided to take his leave after this final match. Disappointing, I suppose, really, for Northern Ireland. I mean, of course, the perennial question comes around of who they may replace him with. I'm not sure who the ideal candidates are going to be on that one.
Is this where we have to do our weekly Martin O'Neill says no to this?
Well, I mean, this could be... I mean, Martin O'Neill...
Wait till we come round to our African Nations Cup edition, and then we'll have to sort of
obviously
crowbar him in for that.
We spoke about Martin O'Neill last week,
didn't we?
And we suggested that he needs to avoid of getting into that sort of like a spiralling one hideous club to the next syndrome.
Yeah.
And one way of breaking that would be to take a national team job.
Mm-hmm.
He is out of work, and Northern Ireland now do need a new manager, and Northern Ireland and he is from Northern Ireland.
He has played for them a few times as well.
I believe he may have done.
I mean, he went to a World Cup
He's got that accent and everything.
he's a bona fide
Northern
Irishman.
I'm sure the players would respect him and play for him, but I would imagine...
He wears glasses as well.
It's just a question of whether or not that's what... I'm certain that unless there is something about Martin O'Neill and the Irish Football Association that we are not aware of, and there may well be.
Or there could easily be.
There could be something, because he can be. He can be prickly.
Yeah.
Maybe
he takes his best man everywhere with him.
Maybe just his best man. What, from his wedding?
It's a little bit of politics there.
Is it? So, yeah. I don't understand. It's gone over my head.
What? Never mind.
I see. What you mean, the whole Liam Thok thing? Oh, right, yeah, nice, good satire.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, it would have been if you'd just sat there.
If I got it, yes.
It would have been hilarious.
If Terry had just gone, ha 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 ha. Yes,
very good. I apologise.
Group D.
Unless you wanted to talk about Northern Ireland anymore.
No, I was just going to mention that, of course, one chap who's been quite critical of Nigel Worthington's reign as a sort of manager of the Northern Ireland team is your man, former Wimbledon chappy, whose name eludes me.
Laurie Sanchez.
That's him.
Out of work for the former Northern Ireland manager, Laurie Sanchez, in critical of Northern Ireland manager, shock.
Shocker.
Yeah, well, we all know what's going on there. Let's hope that they don't even interview him.
Let's hope not.
I think that would be right out of order, actually, because, I mean, he quite clearly legged it to the first club job that came along.
He did such a good job, didn't he?
But he left them right in the lurch as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going great guns under Laurie Sanchez, and it would be disastrous. It would never work. It would never work. I mean, I know nothing about the Northern Ireland national team, but I'll tell you one thing. These things do not work. Managers hightail it off, fail miserably, come back tail between the legs, forget it. No one's going to take him seriously.
The
Northern Irish press, and they are vociferous, I do know that much, they will be up any slip-up from Laurie Sanchez, and they'll have his arse. On the front page and all. Sanchez arse. Anyway, well, we should really move on to Group D, otherwise.
We ought to move on to Group D before we have many more mentions of the word arse.
On to
Group D there, and France, as we mentioned already, they are top of the group. They've only lost one of their nine games, but they're only a point ahead of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and it pretty much is between those two teams. A glance down the jolly old fixture list as I am perusing as we speak, and we find that, in fact, it's those two teams that are playing each other tomorrow night.
It's live on TV in the UK.
Good grief.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes. That's the game.
That'll be one to watch. And again, a chance for another new team in Bosnia-Herzegovina to maybe get to the finals, which could be quite a thing. And France have got previous, as we know, of, shall we say, bottling it at the vital sort of stage. World Cup.
Yeah, they've also got previous of cheating as well in the last stage.
Bosnia have a record of bottling it right at the end.
They've had
good qualifying campaigns quite recently. I know they made it to the playoffs, didn't they? They came across Portugal.
But still,
when it came down
with
to
sufficient
it.
Pedigree to make get themselves through. We like Bosnia, don't we?
We've been nice to Bosnia in the past.
And we would like to see them at least get to the playoff place. But if they were to beat France, that'd be just a hoot.
Yes.
On all kinds of levels.
Yeah. With Dzeko and Ibisevic up front, I mean, they've certainly got quality, haven't they?
Absolutely.
We just said another nice thing about them.
Indeed.
I think it's probably the same nice thing as we said last time.
I suspect it is.
But
that's because it's the same player, so that's all good.
Yes, all good.
If the head of the Bosnia and Herzegovina tourist industry is listening in, then we would like a little holiday if you can spare one. Anyway.
Really? To Bosnia?
Well, you know.
It used to be a fabulous holiday
really?
Destination. Yeah.
I had no idea.
When it used to be Yugoslavia. Everyone went on holidays until they all started shooting each other.
Yeah, all that bad stuff that went
down.
All that stuff that happened. Anyway, let's move on.
We couldn't quite manage three nice things to say on the trot there, but we tried our best. Of course, they have played each other already in the campaign, and France did win 2-0 in Bosnia, if that's any kind of precedent to go by. But anyway, certainly a match to keep your eye on there tomorrow night, as we maybe, you know, tomorrow that you download this podcast.
It'll be tonight by the time you download
this. Yeah, probably will be.
Yes. Anyway, Group E, very little to say there other than Netherlands doing a Germany there with nine straight wins, and they're just looking ferociously good. I have to say, though, I mean, going into the World Cup last year, I was sort of reminding a few people, I suppose you could say, when there's all the discussion about who we thought was going to win the World Cup, and everyone was talking about Spain and, you know, Brazil and all that, and it seemed like everyone was overlooking Netherlands. I was sticking up for them a bit, and yet they didn't quite manage to topple Spain, but I guess they may get a chance to do the same again when they get to the finals. Certainly they've easily won that group ahead of Sweden to the tune of 6 points. Sweden in second and Hungary 3 points further behind. So I think that group's pretty much sewn up, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends if Netherlands go out and try and steamroller Sweden like they've steamrolled everyone else in that group. I mean, there is a faint chance that Hungary could still
pip.
I'm not actually sure. This is where I'm going to show my knowledge up here, and whether or not it's actual done on, whether the places are done on tables or head-to-head.
Yeah, I think it might be done on the old head-to-head, actually.
I think it is, yes.
Yeah.
Is it on the head-to-head?
I think so.
Then it goes to difference.
So what's the head-to-head between Sweden? Let's have
Sweden beat Hungary 2-0 at home.
And Hungary beat Sweden 2-1. So, in which case Sweden would be. I mean, it looks like because there's a 9-goal difference to it. So it would require two massive great results and going on in one night. So yes, we're looking at Sweden going in.
I think Sweden will get what they need.
Yeah. Heidi, 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 ho.
moving on.
Shame for Hungary, though, and it's good to get encouraging for those of us who are romantics and like to see the Magyars doing well.
It's a good campaign for them, actually.
Third place is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of better than some of their recent campaigns. And conversely, I think Finland as well, seem to have been going through a long period of looking borderline, potential for qualifying in various competitions. It looked like they've finally run out of steam now, sadly. But
if you look at the top scorers in qualifying, number three is one Mikael Forsell of Finland.
Well,
that's 7 goals.
Palace legend, only 7 goals, which isn't that.
Well, yeah, but he's only behind Huntelaar and Klose.
Which is not too bad.
In good company.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, and they've got Teemu Pukki, who the scourge of Schalke in the Europa League for HJK earlier in the season. And he was so good that they signed him. They did a Remington. They did. Schalke. Coach fella got out his Victor Kiam.
Yeah.
I was so impressed, I bought the camera. And from there.
That's Marvin Munro, was it?
Hey, Abbott, the camera's the sword of the abattoir.
Group F.
Group F.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Yes. Don't start, you mean. Right, Group F, let's go.
Group F. Greece, 2 points ahead of Croatia at the top of that group, and that's pretty much all you need to know, because then you've got a big 6-point gap game back to Israel. Greece, still unbeaten after their 9 games thus far. They've won 6 and drawn 3. We were talking about Croatia, weren't we, I think, over the weekend, or was that... I can't remember now. I'm sure we were discussing.
Yeah, it's Socrates.
Yeah,
That's right. With regards to like the last European Championships, I suppose it must have been. But Croatia sort of looks like they've sort of had a short spell by way of breathing space and got themselves together now. And it looks like they're going to at least reach the playoffs. And if you're looking at goal difference, they're actually one ahead of Greece. The last set of fixtures in the group. Greece away to Georgia, which should be pretty much a formality, I would have thought, and Croatia at home to Latvia, likewise. So I'm guessing that group's going to finish as it is, really, as far as the top two are concerned. What are your thoughts, gents, on seeing Greece back in the European Championships?
I think they've gained advantage from their win back in 2004, as far as the draw is concerned.
Mm.
It wasn't a particularly challenging draw for them, I think. I think, obviously, they caught Croatia at a good time. Mm-hmm. And when you look around the rest of it, there's not anything that should really scare any of Europe's leading teams. So they've come through unbeaten. They're not as good as they were in 2004, but
nope.
Yeah, they've only conceded four goals in 9 games. So
that's a pretty good going, isn't it?
They're still pretty defensive. Solid in the defence.
Yes.
So although they are a little bit more ambitious going forward, they still have stuck to the principles that they learned under Reagel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the circumstances around... First of all, I wish to say, for the record, that Greece thoroughly deserved to win Euro 2004 on account of them winning it and no one else doing so. However, I think it is perhaps fair to say that there were some circumstances surrounding that tournament that worked in their favour. Largely because the opposition at times didn't seem to take them too seriously, thought they were going to win, lost, and Greece then went on and took the tournament. And, fair play to them. I think Portugal even had 2 cracks of them, didn't they? And still couldn't figure out that actually they were pretty tasty and that maybe they might want to try and beat them. Anyway, there we go.
Yes.
So hats off to Greece. Great to see them back in there. I'm all about Greek football at the moment. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the. I may be a lone voice, But there it is.
Well, it'd be interesting if Croatia do well in their playoff game, then you could say actually Greece's qualification from that group is actually something we can shout out more about. Mm. Of course, if Croatia gets stuffed in their playoff game, then we can probably think, it's a weak group.
Well, yeah, true.
Yes. Greece actually beat Croatia 2-0 on Friday night, a few nights back. So that was the kind of crunch.
Yeah, that's right. That was the big one on Friday. Mm. Was the Greece Croatia game? That was a big game, and obviously Greece should have done enough to get through. Mm. Fingers crossed for them.
Okay, we of course come on now to group duties. England's group, they have qualified, 5 wins, 3 draws out of their 8 games. So well done, England, and Fabio Capello and all the lads. Montenegro putting in a decent fight of it, but they can look forward to being in the playoffs. They are now assured of that. I suppose we have to mention Wayne Rooney and the fact that he got himself sent off and all the hoo-ha about quite how many games he may be missing once England begin their campaign in...
Well, we did, and now we have.
Poland, Ukraine.
Yeah,
so that's that dealt with. that's all you're getting out of us on that one.
Yeah, we'll discuss that should he play... a little bit later. Have they actually decided how many games he's banned?
No, I think that's right, okay. Tomorrow. I think they're deciding that.
Can you imagine the greased backs that are going on at the moment?
Yeah, I'm sure.
UEFA disciplinary headquarters is not a pleasant place at the moment. Ooh, the grease.
Ooh, the grease.
Montenegro, though, hats off to them,
yeah.
Because they all consistently produce cracking players down the generations who have taken part in some really, really good Yugoslavian teams, both in club and country. And even though there's only about 3 of them, they still manage to produce, you know, really good sides.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good. That was a little bit condescending and patronising, I do realise. But, you know, I mean, Vucinic, you know, Jovetic, is he one of them as well?
He's from there.
Good players, genuine international class footballers, and if they can make it through, they will be. I think they'll be strong without necessarily being strong enough to go too far. But they'll be really good. Perhaps a little bit too defensive in their posture.
Yeah, I get the sort of feeling that you see teams like Montenegro get into playoffs, and you know that they always get the stinker.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. What you mean? What with those corrupt, crooked organisers?
Just the way the balls fall, isn't it? Really?
Of course, the way the balls are heated. Fall. you're right. They'll get Denmark or they'll get maybe France if they don't end there. But we're all going to have a big laugh that if France lose to Bosnia and end up going into the
Montenegro
draw for the playoffs, they'll be just get your tinfoil hats ready, folks.
it's going to be a cracker, and we're going to have a great time.
We'll indeed, and we'll be there fueling the fire.
That's right, flooding Twitter
suggesting
with
all sorts
acerbic messages.
I suppose we have to mention Wales and the fact that they managed to get a couple of wins at the end of this campaign is good news, I think.
Yeah, positive note.
It's a little ray of positivity for them.
It's more than that. There's good players coming through Wales and yet they're looking like they've got it together. They really should have got something from England from that England game. Mm. They really should have done.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. If they can nab third,
that's coefficient then, time.
Then obviously there's the coefficients anyway because of the results. If they can nab third, and if they can win a stack of friendlies over the next 12 months or so, then they'll be in a good place.
They need to find. They need to pick their friendlies really well, and they need to be able to select good teams for them as well.
Decent teams that they think that they can beat.
Yeah.
And just concentrate on winning those friendlies and picking up those.
They've also got to be able to get their squad together for these friendlies. Otherwise, they're going to stay in pot four.
Absolutely,
it's impossible.
I think what this has demonstrated for Wales is that they have the players to do it. But perhaps in the past, under Toshack certainly, their senior players weren't showing up.
Mm.
My understanding is amongst people on Twitter that I know who are Welsh that is not happening anymore.
Right.
And that Gary Speed has got the players turning up there and he's building a team there. And they've got the young guys coming through. You know, dare I say it, Gareth Bale. But also, one of my guys, Jonathan Williams of Crystal Palace, who I might have mentioned before, superb player. Absolutely superb player. Only 17. But, I mean, you know, the future is definitely bright for there. So hats off to Wales and looking forward to seeing more from him. Mm-hmm. Next time around.
They've got Bulgaria tomorrow night, and I think they lost 1-0 the first time around, but I think on current form they could quite well win that one.
Yeah.
Very quickly then, and going into the last few minutes of the old show, Group H, big match tomorrow night between the group leaders Portugal and the team who are level on points with them, and that's Denmark. It's at Portugal, I think. In Portugal, to get my grammar correct. Beg your pardon, no, it's in Denmark. I do apologise. They're playing in Copenhagen, and it's basically winner takes all. If Portugal draw, then they will go through, I think. Oh, no, sorry, I'm falling into the same trap again. I'm thinking of goal difference calls. That may not necessarily be the case, but certainly will be a game to keep your eye on there in Group H. And finally, if I can just speed on to Group I, Spain, 7 wins out of 7, easily won that one. They're 10 points ahead of second place, Scotland, who are a point ahead of Czech Republic. A quick word on Scotland?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be heartbreaking again for them.
They've got to beat Spain.
They've got to go away. They've got to go away to Spain. Yeah, but crazier things have happened. I mean, like, Scotland did go away to France and win.
Is this one of these deals where Scotland win in Spain, do you think?
Yeah,
still don't finish second.
No, if they win, they're through.
But if they win, they're through.
Yeah, and
it could happen.
It could be. It could be like, you know, another 40-yard shot that sails into the top corner and then they sneak a 1-0 win.
I think it would be bloody brilliant.
It would be utterly incredible if they did. They would bang on about it for years.
Yeah, but it would be bloody brilliant if they did that. It would be just... And it would be really, Scottish football really badly needs something like this. Mm. And it would be fantastic if they could make it. I've got a good coach, Craig Levein. I think he's all right.
Mm.
He seems to know what he's doing. He seems to know the players' names.
Mm.
He was criticised for playing no strikers up front.
Yes.
I think it was against Spain. I may be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he seems to be a sensible coach. Understands what he's got to work with, and I mean, although he may have made a few gaffes.
Well, I mean, the performance they put in against Spain first time around was very encouraging. I must say they showed a lot of spirit in that game. And if there's anything that can give them a little bit of an extra boost, that is the fact that the Czech Republic, they're playing against Lithuania and actually lost to Lithuania first time around. So who knows? Who knows? If we keep our fingers crossed and all concentrate on the job in hand, maybe we can will Scotland into the playoffs. I think that's...
Or at the very least, we could just watch the game.
Yeah.
We could, yes.
Oh, no, we won't be. We're watching the other game.
We'll be watching.
Sorry about that.
We'll be flicking over the channels, I'm sure.
We'll be all over it. Fear not, as I'm sure you will be too. I think that positive and optimistic note is a good one to finish on. So thank you very much indeed for your time. Thank you very much indeed for your feedback. We were lucky enough to meet some of you at the Socrates event last Friday. So thank you to everybody that came along. It was a tremendously successful event. And if you missed it, as we always say, fear not. Keep watching this space because there's bound to be another event coming along sometime soon. Maybe even in your part of the world. I was just going to say, if you live in Scotland, you could be in luck.
In Scotland? Yes. Yeah, the Scotland one is happening. The date is to be confirmed. But keep an eye on the Socrates website for all of that over the next few days, because more information about that, it will be in Glasgow. That's one thing we do know.
Right, and there could as well be one in the north of England.
Yes, possibly.
Very, very possibly.
I'm waiting for an email back from somebody. But we've had conversations with people about that. And other things as well.
Yes.
So there will be
more events
coming around.
And if of course you think that there should be one in your part of the world, and you think, hey, there's plenty of people that here would come to a Socrates event.
Get in touch. Yes, indeed. Socrates goes international. Yes, Scotland, here we come.
Whoa.
Okay. Well. Thank you very much indeed once again for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again next time around. Until then, from the three of us, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Contact the Sound of Football via our website at footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. Or we're on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball.